Sonic. Hey everyone, just taking a quick 15 seconds to let you know that my new book, The Fitness Mindset, Eat for Energy, Train for Tension, Manage Your Mindset, and Reap the Results, which hit the bestseller list within 24 hours of its release, is now available to buy on Amazon. So if you're looking for everything you need to get into incredible shape and the mindset to keep it forever, be sure to check it out. Thanks for listening, and I hope you enjoy this week's episode.
Welcome to Brian Keane Fitness Podcast, where we talk everything fitness, nutrition, and mindset. With your host, Brian Keane.
Hey everybody, welcome to another episode of the Brian Keane Fitness Podcast. We talk everything fitness, nutrition, and mindset to help you with your goals. Today's episode is a Q&A, so I pooled these from my Instagram and my Snapchat, where I'm probably spending the most time at the minute. So my Instagram, Brian Keane Fitness, and my Snapchat, BrianK019. Definitely go check out those platforms. I'm loving both of them at the minute. So all the questions for this week's show are coming in from Snapchat and Instagram. So if you have any questions you want to send in, be sure to check out those platforms. First one comes in from Bikini Buff on Instagram. What are the best time to take these supplements? So to give a little bit of a context to this answer, she sent me a list of different supplements. So I'm going to talk more so on how you can time your supplements based around your goals and going through this specific list, just to try and provide as much value for everyone to, regardless of what your goals are. So first, supplements, and for those of you listening to the podcast a while, or for those of you who read my book, The Fitness Mindset, you know that I always advocate picking supplements based around your specific goals. If your fat loss is your primary goal, you wanna use supplements that are gonna increase your body's core temperature so you can burn more calories during the day, things like green tea extract. You may wanna increase lipolysis, which is your body's ability to release fat from the cells so you can burn through it in workouts. Things like caffeine, L-carnitine tartrate, where you push fat into the mitochondria to be burnt as fuel. So you wanna choose your supplements based on your goals. Same as muscle building. If you're trying to build muscle, things like creatine that pulls water underneath your cell is going to allow you move more weight with the same form or the same range that you always do, but slightly more because of the water that's been pulled underneath the cell. So you want to choose your supplements based around whatever your specific goals are. If it's sporting performance and you're a GAA player or a soccer player or a rugby player, you want to make sure you're using things like maybe beta-alanine that's going to help buffer lactic acid so you don't fatigue as quickly. You want to use things like zinc and glutamine, the vitamin and the amino acid that get very, very highly deficient in athletes because they're the first things to get to be used up by your body. So you may want to supplement them back in. The same way as using branched chain amino acids and a high level of leucine to speed up muscular recovery from intense workouts. So always choose your supplements based around your specific goals. The timings then are going to be very, very similar. You always take your supplements based around your specific goals. With the exceptions of things like pre-workout, where you obviously want to take it within that hour window before you train because it's going to give your a stimulation of your sympathetic nervous system so that you can have a better workout. It's normally pre-workout drinks or a form of caffeine and other stimulants to kind of get you revved up for your workout. Again, this is where you want to be careful because some people will drink things like caffeine during their workout, their cans of Monster or cups of coffee or drinks that have caffeine in them midway through their workout. And you're actually probably going to do yourself a disservice in terms of changing your body composition because caffeine has that 30 to 60 minute peak rate. So you want it to peak in your system before you start training or at least when you've just started training, as opposed to peaking when you finish your workout, when you want your body to go into rest and digest and recover. You don't need that stimulation of your sympathetic nervous system midway through a workout if body composition is your goal. So it's something that I would just keep on the side of caution with. If you're someone that drinks cans of Monster or drinks intra-workout drinks that has added caffeine, it's probably going to do you a disservice. So with the exception of caffeinated drinks and pre-workouts, other supplements that you take are very much going to be down to what your specific goals are. For example, when it comes to things like creatine, it doesn't really matter what time you take it at. As long as you saturate the cell and you pull enough water underneath the muscle, as long as you remember to take it every day, if you're doing a loading phase or if you're using a different form of creatine that doesn't require loading, it's as long as it's in your cell, it's going to support you in your workouts. So for example, I take my creatine first thing in the morning or post-workout purely because I forget to take it at other times. So that's what works best for me. And again, in that context, as long as you have enough creatine in your system and it's saturating the cell, it's going to work great for you. On the flip side then, something like glutamine, it depends on what your specific goal is. If you're taking glutamine to some of the studies, most recent, again, studies change depending on the most recent science, but studies will show that glutamine can help raise natural growth hormone if you take it first thing in the morning, post-workout, and before bed. So if fat loss is your goal and you're trying to just replace your glutamine and maybe give yourself a little bit of a natural growth hormone spike, you may want to take it at those times. However, if you're an athlete or a GA player or a sports person or just somebody that trains very intensely on a regular basis, and you're using glutamine so that you can support your immune function so you don't get sick, it doesn't really matter what time you take it at, as long as it's regular intervals and you're taking it as you need it. Because glutamine is one of the first amino acids to get deficient in high-end trainers, it's important to supplement it back in, more so for immune function. For example, I take my glutamine in the morning and before bed, purely because I use it for immune function so I don't get sick, and I'm just hedging my bets to make sure that I'm not deficient in it, even though as long as your nutrition is good, you should be able to get a lot of glutamine from your food. But high-end trainers, and I do a lot of finishers, a lot of metabolic conditioning, so I always hedge my bets by adding it back in as a supplement. And then it comes down to your fat burners, your things like your green tea extract, your L-carnitine tartrate. Again, it's going to be largely personal preference. My general rule of thumb is if I have anything that has any sort of mild stimulant effect or mild caffeine, I'll take it before I train so that I can utilize it and it's not going to keep me awake taking it too late in the day. I normally try and train before midday, the very latest, with the exception of some weekends if I have a later workout, purely because it doesn't affect my sleep when I take any stimulant at that time. So that's going to be down to your specific schedule and when you train. If you're somebody that takes green tea extract or takes caffeine at 7 p.m. and you can't sleep at night because it's peaking in your system as you're supposed to wind down for bed, or it's still half-life is in your system as you're winding down for bed, you may want to scale back on what supplements you're using in terms of ones that are having a stimulating effect on your central nervous system. So again, there's no right or wrong way. The one thing I would advise is obviously check the label on the back of every supplement, and they're going to give you a recommended dose of what to take and when to take it. However, if you're on a program and you're on, for example, my BKF online program, or you're on Recalibrated Bodies program, or you're on Chris Spearman's program, or you're on Scott Baptiste's program, or Jamie Alderton, or Ben Coomer, or whoever's program you're maybe on, I'm only using people that are on, that have been guests on the show, if you're on their program, they're probably going to have their recommended supplements to take and the dosage at which to take them. The truth is you don't need any supplements. You can get everything you need from nutrition, but supplements can supplement back in what you're missing, and it can speed up your progress if you have your nutrition on point. So what I would advise is use the recommended on the back of the label. The majority of the time, it's going to give you the most mainstream, safest dose so that no one can sue to make sure that they haven't overdosed. So you may find that you have L-carnitine tartrate, for example, and it has 500 mcgs at the back, but you're an 80 kilo guy looking to lose some body fat and bump up your testosterone, you may have to go to 2,500 mg. So you may be taking 4 or 5 of those capsules, but they have to give you the lowest recommended dose to cover their backs. So just make sure that you, when you're going through a program and you have a coach with you, and if they tell you you're taking a higher dose for this reason, you at least know that that's why, and you're not just jacking up the amount you take because you want better results, because there is a tipping point where if you take too much of a supplement, it's going to have a negative effect on your body, particularly stimulants, caffeine, like the side effect of too much caffeine is death. So that kind of gives you an idea of how potent it is on your central nervous system if you went way over the dose. So general rule is use what's on the back of the labels, and if you're coming through a program, talk to your coach or should be in the program what's there and the specific time to take it and the recommended amount for your specific goals. Next question comes in from Jimaloo2989. My weight isn't exactly heavy, but I have body fat to lose but don't want the scales to drop too much. How can I drop body fat and gain muscle mass at the same time? Okay, so Jimma, it's a great way of phrasing the question, because I've talked on podcasts before that losing weight and losing body fat are not the same thing. Losing weight is a number on a scale. So when you step onto a scale and you see the number, to reduce that weight, you want the number to come down. Losing body fat is reducing the fat on your body. So they're two different things, even though sometimes you can get both where you reduce body fat and you'll reduce weight as a result, but they're not the same thing. I actually am not a fan of a scale weight unless you're pretty overweight to start with, and then it's a good indicator of your progress. But if you're someone who's already relatively lean and you're just holding stubborn areas of body fat, your scale weight may not change at all, even though you may drop 3 dress sizes, which is the case of a couple of people that came through my program. So what I would advise is the number one thing here is you're trying to reduce body fat as opposed to reducing weight on a scale. So what I would do here is I would calculate your maintenance calories. I would probably eat at maintenance calories and then get a deficit from your training so that you're able to keep your weight up but reduce body fat. So for example, if your maintenance calories is 2,000 calories, I would probably eat 2,000 calories every day, and then I would change up the system. You may be carb cycling, you may be going low carb, you may be going high fat. There's loads of different systems you can apply within your macros there, but I would probably keep your calories around that point. I would also keep your protein pretty high so that you maintain the muscle mass that you have and making sure you're getting enough amino acids there that you can repair from workouts and preserve the muscle that you already have. And then provided you're getting a deficit from your training, from doing the right type of training that's based around reducing body fat and maintaining muscle mass, you're going to be able to do both. You'll be able to keep the scale weight the same, and this goes for both genders. You'll be able to keep the scale weight the same, but you'll reduce your body fat. Majority of people, not all, but probably 70% of people that came through my top 50 program, my BKF online program, some that are already relatively lean starting will lose body fat but stay the same weight for 6 weeks, 12 weeks, or the entire 90 days because of the way in which they brought their body fat down. They've used tension style training to elevate their metabolism, so they're burning more calories while they sit at home and rest. And they're using high intensity interval training as their cardio, so they're able to preserve more muscle, which in turn keeps their metabolism elevated because of the amount of muscle that you have and the amount of muscle that you maintain. But they're also getting their heart rate up to 90-95%, so that they're able to burn more calories during that specific workout. So they're hitting it in a two-pronged approach. And then they're using, some are using carb cycling, some are using low carb refeeds, majority are keeping their protein high because you want to repair the muscle from the workout and you want to retain the muscle that you have. So you can definitely do both, or you can keep the same weight and reduce body fat. It's just making sure that you're using a combination of your training and your nutrition, and then you're using supplements that are supportive of that goal. You're probably going to be using things like green tea extract that increases the amount of calories you burn throughout the day, but you may also be using creatine so that you're able to pull more water underneath the cells. So even though you're in a deficit from your training, you're able to maintain the muscle that you have, you're able to maintain the strength that you have, so that your weight that you're lifting doesn't drop, which means you may atrophy some of the muscle because you're not getting the same stimulation as you always did. So that may be how your plan looks. You're using supplements that are based around losing body fat, but also preserving muscle or even building muscle. Because it is possible to do both, you just have to make sure you have it nailed from every single angle. Your nutrition, your training, and your supplements are all geared towards staying the same weight and losing body fat, or staying the same weight and building a little bit of muscle, or toning up and, in quote unquote, toning up and losing body fat at the same time. So that would be the main thing I would do there, is calculate your maintenance, keep it around that part, and then adjust your training and adjust your macros, your carb cycling or your low carbs or high fat or whatever it is you're doing around whatever works best for your metabolism. Okay, next question comes in from Snapchat. How can I find a boyfriend? Okay, so the girl that sent this in asked me not to mention her name on the podcast, so I'm going to adhere to her privacy and not mention who she is. And I'm also going to answer it in the context of how can I find a boyfriend or a girlfriend, because I think it applies to both genders. Regardless of your sexual preferences, I think the answer that I can give context to here will hopefully help both genders regardless. So the first thing I would ask yourself is, it's very important to find out why you want a boyfriend or a girlfriend, because the reason why is going to be very, very determinant on what you decide to do. The truth is, it's not difficult to find a boyfriend or a girlfriend. You know, finding the right boyfriend or finding the right girlfriend, that's what's difficult. I love the quote that even a blind squirrel finds a nut every once in a while. So if you decide that, well, I want a boyfriend, realistically, you could go out in the next 48 hours, meet somebody and hone a relationship over a few weeks, and then you'd have a boyfriend. It's a case of, if you fail faster and you threw enough stuff against the wall, something would stick and you'd find somebody that you could call your boyfriend or you could call your girlfriend. Finding the right person, that's what's difficult. So if, for example, you want a boyfriend or a girlfriend because all your friends have one and you feel left out, it may not be that you're that picky on who you choose. So maybe a case of just going out and failing faster and going on a date every single night until you find somebody that you quite like, and then you hone and build time with that person until you have a relationship, and then you have the label of a boyfriend because you have now what all your friends have. And there's nothing wrong with that. If that's the reason for it, and people put a label and go, oh, you shouldn't do what everybody says. And I'm the first to admit that you shouldn't fall into doing what all your friends do. And if that, there's obviously something else going on there. But if that's what's true for you and that's what you're feeling, there's nothing wrong with you for feeling that way. But the decisions and the process and the steps you take are going to be very, very different if you're looking for someone you're going to spend the rest of your life with. So it's very important to ask yourself that question, because if that's what you want, you just want someone that you can stick the label on and be like, well, I have a boyfriend, here's someone I can hang around with and all my friends have them and we can double date and do all these things, then it's just going to be a case of going out with more people until you find someone that you kind of connect with, and then you spend more time with them until you flourish it into a relationship. If you're someone that is worried about finding their life partner and they feel loneliness that comes with the casual dating and can't meet anybody, the decisions you make are going to be very, very different. You're not going to be meeting every single person. You're going to have a more sustained thought process on the probabilities of the things you're looking for in a potential partner. So for example, if you know what's important to you and you love working out and you love going to the gym and you love reading books and you love going to the cinema and you love all of these things, you're probably going to meet somebody with the higher probability you're going to meet somebody in your gym or your local library or out and about with a friend, as opposed to stumbling out of a club at 4 a.m. or swiping left or right on Tinder. It's just a probabilities game. I'm not saying that you won't meet a boyfriend or a girlfriend doing those things, and by all means, go out and socialize and do that. But if you're looking for a long-term life partner, somebody that's going to be your yin to your yang, your literal other half or your figurative other half, probably not going to meet them at 4 a.m. in a club. So it's very important to understand why you want that boyfriend or why you want that girlfriend, because your action steps are going to be very different. So my advice to you and my advice to anybody else is one of two things. Decide first what you want to do and then make the decisions based out of that. If you just want something short term and somebody you can stick the label on, just go out on more dates until you find somebody you like, and then that will eventually build and grow into a relationship. And if it doesn't, you do it with the next person and then the next person, and you keep trying and you keep getting up, fall down 8 times, get up 9, you keep doing it until you find that person that you're like, okay, they're my boyfriend now or they're my girlfriend now. If you're somebody that's looking for a life partner that you're going to spend the rest of your life with, you may want to increase your probabilities on, well, what's important for me? What are my non-negotiables? What are the things that I can't? If you're somebody that never wants to have kids, it's very, very important that the first date you meet somebody, that you get that out and that that's been clear, so that you're not going down that rabbit hole with the person and hoping that they change their mind, because it's unlikely. Things that are non-negotiables for people aren't going to change in 6 months, 6 years. They normally stay the same. Some people will yield and change, but largely people don't. So when you know why you're looking for that boyfriend or girlfriend, you can make your action steps are going to be completely different. After that, then it's just about becoming that person. I love the Charlie Munger quote that to get what you want, you have to deserve what you want. So if you want a good boyfriend or you want a good girlfriend, then you have to be someone that deserves that. If you want somebody that's going to be loyal and trustworthy to you, that has open conversations and is vulnerable with you, that you can build a life with, you have to be prepared to offer that and give that as well. Because if you're not, you're not going to deserve somebody else that gives it back to you. And there are relationships where one person will put in way more work, and there may be people listening to this is like, yeah, I'm that person, or my partner's that person, where they're clearly putting in more work, or you're clearly putting in more work trying to salvage or trying to build a relationship, and the other person isn't yielding to it. And again, that's a whole other conversation and a whole other answer and a different question completely. But if it's a case that you want somebody loyal, you want somebody that looks after themselves, you want somebody that has a high energy level, that'll do things that move them forward in life, then you need to be a person that deserves that type of person. So do what you need to do. When you look after yourself, everything else looks after itself as well. You can't change external things. You can't change the world. You can't make the world change to you. You can't change to other people, but what you can change is how you see it, and you can change how you react to it. So if you choose that, well, this is why people join the gyms, this is why people get active. Normally, it's to, one, to build confidence, two, to feel better about themselves, some for health reasons, other people, and the majority of people that start off, it's to attract a partner or to build confidence within themselves so that they can approach people and potentially lead to a relationship. So to get what you want, you have to deserve what you want. If you want somebody that is athletic and energetic and does all of these things, then become that person that deserves that. Maybe get yourself into a gym, get yourself active, increase your own energy levels, and like attracts like. You know, I'm not a massive fan of the Rhonda Byrne, The Secret book, but I do like the section on that like attracts like. The vibe you put out and the energy you put out is what you are going to attract back. There's a reason that when I meet people at seminars and I meet people when I'm out about, I connect with them nearly instantly because they've been consuming my content, particularly the people that have listened to every episode of the podcast, because like attracts like, because you're attracted to me because of the stuff that I say, and I'm attracted to you because of the way that you've consumed it and have internalized it and then applied it to your own life. And it's something that's very non-verbal and energetic. So to close out this question, the truth is, to get what you want, you have to deserve what you want. Understand your reasons for why you want a boyfriend or why you want a girlfriend, and then it's just going to be down to putting the action steps in place and then deserving the kind of person that you want to be with. Okay, next question comes in from Monor Curfee. How can I make my arms bigger? Okay, so I'm going to answer this one a little bit differently than normal, because I've done videos on my Instagram on bicep, tricep exercises. To make your arms bigger, you obviously want to prioritize it in your training. So you're doing different movements that prioritize your bicep. There's two muscles in your bicep, bi meaning two. There's three muscles in your tricep, tri meaning three. So you want to make sure that you are doing enough work and enough stimulation on those muscle groups so that you're able to build them bigger. So the normal rules of building muscle applies: making sure you're in a calorie surplus, making sure you're eating enough protein to repair the muscle cells, you're using supplements, you're using creatine, things that pour water underneath the muscle that may all support and enhance your body's ability to build more muscle. But for arms specifically, you want to make sure that you're stimulating enough tears in those muscles to build them up. What I would offer here, and it's a little bit different than what I normally say, is I would probably put a heavier focus on your triceps, purely because from a numbers game, you have more muscles in your tricep than you have in your bicep. There's three muscles as opposed to two in your bicep. So your arm is your triceps are 3/5 of your arm. So I would focus on your compound lifts in your triceps, your skull crushers, your easy bar extensions. They substitute the same exercise, just two different names. And your close grip bench, your dips, focusing on tricep growth. And then you're doing things like your kickbacks, your rope extensions that are going to shape and give more actual definition to that muscle group. And then on your biceps, you're going to do things like your barbell curls that are your compound lift. And you may be doing different variations and different angles of bicep exercises, keeping your elbows tucked in, flaring them out, so that you're hitting different heads of your bicep. So my advice for that would be to prioritize them in your training. There's two ways to do this. In my BKF online program, I like to have them in there as a workout with shoulders. So you've got shoulders and arms. However, I've had people come through the program that have really wanted to prioritize arms. So they do a little bit of muscular stimulation on them every single day just to improve their mind-muscle connection so they can feel that muscle better. And then they're able to use a heavier weight with perfect form using the same 8 to 10 rep range, which can elicit more growth and get better results. So again, there is no one size fits all. I would trial both. I would try just doing an arm day or mix it in with your shoulders. Something that's not as demanding, so I wouldn't pair, for example, with legs. I would probably do them by themselves, or try adding in a bicep move or a tricep move to the end of all your workouts to improve your mind-muscle connection, so that when you are training them on their own day, you're able to feel them every single rep and you're able to load as much weight as possible with perfect form within the range of motion to fail at your giving rep range. Your 8 to 10 hypertrophy rep range would be my kind of main takeaways for building bigger arms. Okay, last one from Barry King 10. If you had to pick one GA or gym for the rest of your life, what would it be? Okay, I'm gonna answer this because they both give me very, very different things. Right now, because of my schedule, obviously Holly's 2 years of age, my business is scaling up, things with the best-selling book, my tour and things like that where I've been speaking, my actual lifestyle is way more go, go, go than it was, you know, 6, 7, 8 years ago. So gym workouts, even the gym, a lot of them are sometimes hotel workouts or home bodyweight things when I have time. That is my only way that I can get a workout in, and I can't commit fully to my GA schedule or even my gym routine when I'm traveling. So if I had to choose one or the other, I would find it very difficult because they both give me different things. The gym, for example, gives me a massive sense of meditative state after. So a lot of people here will do different forms of meditation. Some will walk. Whatever disconnects you from the world, people find very, very good for just thinking clearer. For me, training in the gym, and for any of those that have ever seen me train or watched any of the live videos when I've been training, I get very into the zone when I train, and hence why it's such a form of meditation for me. I feel every muscle when I'm working it. I go, my heart rate gets way up on metabolic conditioning if I'm doing my GA Lean Body program, and I get very focused and in the zone. So I feel in a very transient state and very disconnected from the world when I train. The gym gives me that. Football doesn't give me that, and GAA didn't give me that. What GAA gives me is a massive state of flow. So Mihail Csikszentmihalyi in his book Flow, and it's a flow state, which is basically what sports people get and musicians get when they feel that they're in the zone and time is standing still. So that's what football gave me. That's what GAA gave me. When I'm training or when I'm playing a game, time stands still, and it just, you're in that pure state of flow. Very different from the gym, because in the gym it's more meditative, and I feel when I come out of it that I'm a completely new person. Where in football it's the highest end of enjoyment, and I feel I'm at a 10 out of 10 in terms of a flow state, that I'm like, there's nothing else I'd rather do right now than be kicking around the ball. So the two things give me very, very different feelings and emotions. So to choose one or the other would be very, very difficult. I'm aware that the gym has way more longevity and it fits better into your schedule. So in terms of practicality, if I had to pick out a practicality, I'd have to go with the gym with my current lifestyle. But if I wasn't living a busier lifestyle, if Holly wasn't 2 years of age, and obviously I spend as much time as I can with her, and all these other things that have changed in my life over the last 18 months, 2 years, football would probably have been the number one. But if you ask me right now, I'd probably have to go with the gym purely for practicality reasons, and the meditative state that it gives me out the other side. But truthfully, it's very, very hard to answer because they both give me very, very different feelings. But I'm also curious, anybody here that plays GAA or plays a sport, let me know. Send me a DM or hit me up on Instagram on the post when I put up this podcast. Just comment on the DM, in DM, or comment on the picture and let me know, would you pick GAA or your sport over the gym? Which one, if you had to choose, what would you pick? Just literally one word comment, go GAA or rugby or soccer or gym underneath the post, or send me a DM on Instagram, Brian Keane Fitness. Just kind of out of curiosity what everyone else would pick. So massive thank you for that question, and a massive thank you for all the questions sent in. Okay, so hopefully you guys got loads of value from this episode. For more information on me, or to find out more about my GAA Lean Body Program or my BKF Online Program, head over to the website, www.briankeanefitness.com. My Facebook, YouTube, and Instagram is all Brian Keane Fitness. My Snapchat, BrianKZ019. And a massive thank you to Cullum at Voxonic, who puts together all the podcast episodes. Catch you all soon. Thanks again.